Golf Smarter number 78 for June 12th, 2007.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Blue Canyon Country Club with Jamie Westenberg in Phuket, Thailand.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for downloading the Golf Smarter podcast. I receive emails from you many times saying that you're not big fans of doing golf course tours because you're never going to play that course. Well, today we're on a course that you may never play. We are in Phuket, Thailand. It's an island in the southern part of Thailand. And I'm here with Jamie Westenberg, who's the director of golf. And it's the Blue Canyon Country Club. You may have heard about it because it was just hosting the Johnny Walker Classic. Welcome to the podcast, Jamie.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here. Glad to be part of all this.
And I'm glad to be part of this. So give me an overview of the Blue Canyon Country Club, playability-wise.
Playability-wise, you're looking at probably the toughest golf course on the island. It has a course rating of 75, which is, as most golfers would know, it's a very difficult golf course. The Johnny Walker had played this year. The winning score was 13 under par, which again shows the testament of the difficulty of the golf course. And everyone coming off told them how much of a challenge it was, mainly the par threes.
Why are the par threes so incredibly difficult?
Each one is over 200 yards, depending on where you're teeing off. And the signature hole, the 17th hole, is approximately 220 yards. All carry over water, tucked to a tight pin on the right, usually on the Sunday hole placement. And a bogey is basically a good score there.
Wow. So I guess the obvious question before we start talking, I think we're at a tee box right now. You don't have a Thai accent. You're not from around here, are you?
I do not. I'm known as a Farang. I come from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And I've been here almost a year and a half now. And it's been such a pleasure to be here, and I'm just excited that I actually had this opportunity to come out this way.
And how did that work out? I mean, first of all, the weather's got to be completely different and a huge adjustment for you because it's incredibly humid here.
The weather is incredibly humid here. It's almost 90 degrees every day, if not higher, which was one of the reasons I decided to come out here. I was at home, middle of winter, giving golf school lessons, indoor, obviously, and I got a phone call from Thailand just saying they were interested in me, and got through some good recommendations, and lo and behold, a few weeks later, I was living in Thailand.
Are you starting to speak the language?
Nit Noi. I can speak it just a little bit. I've caught on to it. I would like to speak it much better. If I stay here a lot longer, I'm sure I will obviously take some lessons and speak it very well, hopefully.
So, comparable to like Hawaii golf in a sense, or is there anything that in the States that you can compare Thai golf to?
The Canyon course is very much like golf in America or North America, as it may be. Very picturesque, a lot of targets, whatnot. Nothing like the links courses you would find in the UK and whatnot. The lakes course, which is the other 18 holes that we hold, is a little more open and friendlier to the amateur golfer, whereas the Canyon course, like we said, is for the championship or the elite players.
And you talk about elite players. I noticed some course records on the board when I walked in. You want to tell me those course records and who holds them? Do you know? Can you remember off the top of your head?
I do, yes. It was 94, actually, when Tiger Woods held the amateur record of 71. I believe that has been broken, but we haven't changed any of the names. We like that name up there, and we're happy with it.
Yeah.
As for the course for the professionals, the 64 was a course record held by Greg Norman, who did it in 1998 when he won the Johnny Walker Classic. And this year we had a few guys actually tie it, but I think we'll leave Greg Norman's name up there as well.
I also saw Freddie Couples' name up there, right?
Yes, he is tied with Norman as well. You are correct.
I always like to see a Freddie up on the board. All right, so let's talk about this incredibly lush tropical setting that we're in, and there's a lot of water here. It's a very large body of water. What hole are we at right now?
Currently, we're at 17, the signature hole where, like I said, the par 3, basically you win the tournament here or not. Three of the final four coming through on Sunday bogeyed this hole. And if two of them or one of them actually had a par the hole, they would have eventually been the outright winner. But unfortunately, they ended up bogeying the hole. And the winner came from the second to last group, who was one of the guys to actually par the hole.
All right, so which tee boxes are we looking at, and which direction should we be going from where we are right now? And that noise, by the way, was we're near the airport, but it's on the other side of some hills. But still, the airport's quite close to here.
Correct. It's almost like our backyard. It's about a five-minute drive from out of our gate. It's just a couple left turns, and you're there.
So as you're flying into Phuket, if you're sitting on the left side of the plane, you get a beautiful view of the golf course.
Correct, yes. Obviously, it depends which way you're coming from. But, yeah, you just look right down, and as you're landing, you're basically landing on the golf course.
So point me in the direction of the hole from the tee box. Where are we headed, and what am I looking at? And okay. And give me some playing strategy, please.
Okay, again, this is the 17th hole where we're, again, about 220 yards from the black tees. The way to play the hole all depends on where we put the tees. Sunday, the last day this year, we moved the tees up because it was too windy and the greens were too hard. It would just be too difficult to play for pretty much anyone.
And the wind is in your face at that point?
The wind was in our face. If we had to put it in the back, they'd be hitting three woods, basically, over water, landing on a target, which is only about 15 paces wide. So,
wow.
Many of the guys were hitting five irons in, a high cut, so you're kind of taking the water out. If you miss it left, you're fine. You block it right or anywhere right, you're basically in Death Valley. There's no chance of getting up and down, and you may be even going to the drop zone.
And when you say Death Valley, explain to me what that means here.
Here it means you'll be in a thick rough, blocked out by trees, in our beautiful lush gardens that you've spoke of already, or finally in the water hazard.
Let's talk about the greens that you have and the condition of the greens.
Okay, the condition of the greens are mainly sloped back to front. There's a few undulations in them. During the tournament at Johnny Walker, we actually had to hold them at 10 on the stimp meter. If we get them too fast, it's almost impossible to hold. And if you go over the greens, basically you're not keeping it on the green. They would just roll right off. If it got a little windy, the ball would also blow off the greens. So we had to keep them at a pace that was fair for all the players.
Now for this... The purpose of the Golf Smarter podcast, and I appreciate you talking about the Johnny Walker Classic and players like Tiger Woods, but we're not Tiger Woods, and we're not going to be playing from the blacks, most likely. What other options do we have? What other tee boxes do we have, and what are the distances there?
Well, you obviously start off at the forward tees, which most of the ladies play, and some of our seniors. It's much shorter and obviously much easier to play from there. They play at about 6,300 yards, which is still a fair test for most women that play golf. Then we have the white tees, where, again, the higher handicap should be playing. A lot of them like to go back to the blue tees, which we have. But the white is a good test. But, again, the blue is what most of the people play. It's a fair test. It's about 7,100 yards. And it's just a good test for everybody. That's what I would recommend them coming out to play as blue tees. Again, speed of play wouldn't be an issue with us, though. We'd ask them all to speed up because it is a very difficult golf course.
All right, Jamie, this is an interesting hole. Where are we right now?
This is our signature hole. Again, this is the 14th hole, par 3, Island Green. Again, depending what tees you're playing from. We actually had the pros play from the black tees, which is 204 yards downhill to an Island Green. Very, very tough. Many of them shaking in their boots. It's it's a make or break hole, basically. You make two or three, or you make a five. I stood on this tee probably to watch about four groups go through, and half a dozen of them went in the water. It is basically the toughest hole in the back, as the par three. 17th, which you went over already, is a very tough hole. But do you have places to bail
out?
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can hit in other places and work your way towards the green. Here,
correct.
You really don't. I mean, you're how elevated are we?
We're probably about, I would say, a good 30 meters up. And again, no bailout. You hit the green or you're in the water.
Well, okay, so when you're looking down, there's a small, that's a pond right in front of the green, and then the green is basically surrounded by water. You've got walk-up area on the back left part, and you got a walk-up area on the right. So a shorter hitter, I mean, if you're an amateur here, a shorter hitter can hit down to the right here.
We're actually standing on the red tee block, just makes the green look a little easier to hit and whatnot. Just from the blacks up there, it's more of a direct target, so you couldn't necessarily hit it short. Again, if you mishit it, there is a little area there that it lands on, but you'd get very lucky, which is the drop area where you'd go to if you actually hit in the water anyways. But other than that, no, there's no bailout area.
It's beautiful. This is great. We seem to be blessed with a beautiful afternoon here. It's actually, it's 10:30 in the morning. Blue skies, big white puffy clouds. But we're just about to approach the rainy season, right? What is generally you can expect weather-wise around here?
Well, we have what we call a high season and a low season. We've currently entered our low season. There's a little bit of rain right now, but come September, October is more of our rainy season, what we call it. It's more of a monsoon season. Currently, right now, our rainy season rains once or twice a week, which is good for the golf course. And when it does rain, it won't rain usually more than 30 minutes. The odd day, it will rain for a couple hours, but you can always fit around a golf and sit down, have some lunch, and just hang out and wait for the rain to stop, because it just doesn't rain all day. It tends to rain a lot at night, again, which is good for our golf courses. And during our high season, very, very busy, and you won't get much rain at all, if any. And that's usually through the months of starting around November 1st till the end of March. And again, not much rain at all. Expecting weather between 90 and 100 degrees, sunny, beautiful beaches. Just a beautiful place to be at that time.
What kind of playing tips could you provide for us about the difference in playing in the tropics like this? What is the main difference that you find?
Staying hydrated. you lose, I'm going to say, probably a pound or two at least playing out here every round. It's a necessity to continue drinking water before you think you're thirsty. Suntan lotion, throw it on. The caddies will take care of you usually. Make sure you're covered up. It's not odd to see many Asian women, even men, carrying bottled water with them, towels, covered from head to toe with long sleeve shirts, hats, towels around the necks, two gloves. They come well prepared, whereas back home we're wearing our shorts or our little polo shirt and sometimes not even a hat. It's almost the extremes here where you're playing the opposite, covered from head to toe, just for safety's sakes. And again, continue.
And when you talk about that, you mean just from the heat or from the bugs?
I've never had a problem with bugs since I've been here. The heat is sometimes just gets to the extreme where you actually have to take breaks. We have kiosks here every three holes because we know how tiring it is for people. We allow 4.5 hours, and if you're in less than five, I'm still kind of a happy guy because I know how tough the course is and how the heat actually gets to you. You'll see many people changing their shirts after nine holes. And,
really?
And it is very hot, but it's... with a little breeze, it's very, very enjoyable, and it shouldn't discourage anyone from coming to play the golf courses. Just expect some heat, that's all.
Wow. And is this a walking course, or is it better to ride?
Well, we have 36 holes.
You encourage walking?
Or? Yeah, we have 36 holes. One is a walking course, and the other is a cart course, which is mandatory. As a golf pro, I prefer to walk either side. I don't like getting in the golf carts. I recommend, if you're here for the week, jump in a cart, enjoy yourself. We have a caddy service, which is mandatory. You must take a caddy. And again, she takes good care of you, making sure you're hydrated, making sure with your yards, doing the caddy job, basically.
And are all the caddies women?
They are all women. I have 300 of them in there, and they're all friendly. And like I said, we're the land of smiles, and that's all they do is smile and just have fun.
I've been loving that. Thailand, the people are just phenomenal, and they all want to smile right back at you.
Yeah, they're the friendliest people you'll ever meet. I've been around Asia since I've been here, and the Thai people are head and shoulders above everybody.
So are you using caddies on your golf course as advisors on your game, or are they more just camels, or I guess elephants in Thailand, carrying your gear for you?
Both. Some of them, there's always a communication barrier there. Some people don't speak English. Obviously, a lot don't speak Thai. So there is a communication issue there. And they try their best and do their best to communicate yardages with you. They try not to recommend certain clubs because they've never seen you play and don't know how far you hit it.
Right.
And there's no need to be getting frustrated. Most amateurs hit a 7-iron between, 150, 160 yards or 40 yards. They could
exactly.
Duff it. They don't know how far to hit each.
You club. Just nailed our group.
Yeah, there you go. And to save any issues, any problems, someone saying the caddy was poor, giving you wrong yardage and whatnot, is a little unfair because, like I said, they've just met you. They don't know how far. So we encourage them not to suggest clubs. We say give the distance.
I've always had a frustration with that when I'm out playing and I'll ask somebody, what's my target? And they go, hit a 5-iron. It's like, no, that's not what I asked you.
Correct, yeah.
What's my target? What am I aiming at? And what's the distance? I'll decide what club I should be hitting. And so I guess a good caddy would understand that.
Correct, you got it right on. They're very good on the greens as well. They know, obviously, it depends how hard you're going to hit the putt, but they'll recommend, it's downhill, it breaks 2 inches. And give you good advice on the greens, which is where most of us need help around the short game.
And that's the greatest value of a caddy is reading the green, right? Especially in an unfamiliar course.
Next to carrying the golf bag in the 95-degree heat.
And the water.
Correct.
And lots of water. And what about as far as eating or just continuing your nutrition as well?
Yes. Again, you'd obviously recommend the fruit and the power bars, water, and once in a while maybe throw a Gatorade in there with the sugar level. Keep that up with the energy, and I recommend, like I said, we actually put in our scorecard that you stop for 5 minutes at East Kiosk so that you you remain fit and have endurance, continue on with your round. We don't want anyone collapsing out here, and it has happened. So
for a director of golf, that can be quite frustrating to tell people to just take your time and wait it between holes. You want to keep the pace of play moving.
I do want to keep the pace of play moving.
But you don't want people collapsing either.
I also understand, health is a bigger issue. I want you coming in after 18 holes. I want to see you there.
Well, because you have a beautiful clubhouse, too, and come on, have a lemonade, right?
Correct, you got it.
Or a singha.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, you got another hole for me?
I do. This is the 18th hole. This is the final hole. And again, depending on where you're teeing off, amateur or professional, you can play it a couple different ways. I won't beat it to death, but the Johnny Walker, the guy who ended up winning it, birdied the 18th hole.
And who was that?
That's Anton Hegg, just a 20-year-old guy out of South Africa. Just came up, had no expectations, came out the winner, his first win, and... played very well, very, very well.
Well, actually, I want to pick on that for a second. You said he had no expectations. On that level of golf, is it still an important thing to do, is to lower your expectations when you come out to the golf course?
I would say no. But again, he's just a young guy, rookie, had never won before. He was just happy to be here. It was a Johnny Walker, had his invitation, and there was just nothing to lose for him. He just happened to play very well over the week, and his expectations were exceeded, and he was just happy. He was the winner at the end of the day. Birdied 18 on the final day, and then won in a playoff with a birdie.
Let's walk up to the 18th tee right now, and you give me a little tee tour of that hole, okay?
Okay.
Where are we?
Let's go.
Where's the tee box?
Just right
Can we just walk
there.
Over here? Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's take a walk out of the golf cart for a second. Again, you can hear all the bugs. So there's a lot. So we're on the opposite side of the lake that we were just at for the 17th.
Correct.
But this is a par...
This is a par four. Okay. And again, depends what tee you're playing. Obviously, the pros play the black. So they, depending on how far they hit it, would have to decide which way they're going to play this. The bigger hitters, being the Ernie Els and Anton Hag, who won it, is one of the largest hitters out here, can carry the lake here, which is probably about a 275 to carry from the black.
Wow.
Okay. Some of the pros would hit it just left of the lake here, but it's a narrow landing zone, which is only about 15 yards wide, 20 yards wide maybe. If they block it right, they're in the water. They hit it left, they're in the trees. So it's a demanding driving hole. Again, if distance is your forte, then the hole plays a little bit easier because you would only have a wedge or something coming in, wedge 9-iron coming in.
If I'm reading this hole properly... we're dogleg left on this?
It looks like a dogleg left a little bit because the fairway comes out here, but it's actually a very straight hole.
It is very straight.
Yeah.
But you have a creek coming up the middle with a lot of large trees in it?
That's on the right-hand side. That wouldn't come into play unless, again, you're a large hitter and you block it even more right. The green is a little bit further to the left here, surrounded by a couple bumpers.
Is it safe to walk into the fairway right now?
Right now we can go in the fairway, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So I can get a better view of what we're talking about here.
So again, teeing off from the blacks, this is where maybe 50% of them, the guys who couldn't carry the 275 or didn't want to. Again, maybe a lot of them can, but if it was windy into the face that day, good luck carrying it. and they would end up around right in here, and they would come in with about a 7 or 8 iron, whereas the larger hitters might be hitting it just over the water here, coming in with a wedge. As an amateur, again, the blue tees and white tees... As an amateur, you'd be carrying it probably about 210 from the blues, which many people can do and play that way. If not, again, they hit it out to where the pros were hitting it, and they were coming in again with a 7-iron, 6-iron. The ladies could carry it because their tees are well up. As long as they remain left, everything is fine. And coming into the green, it slopes again back to front, very slippery. You just aim for the middle of the green here no matter what. Walk away with a two-putt and be happy.
And generally, would you do that on most of the holes here, just aim for the center of the green and work from there? Or should you be attacking the flag?
Again, it all depends where the flag is and what your ball flight is. If you aim the greens, some of the greens here are very large, so if you aim for the middle of the green, you may be looking at a three-putt automatically. Some greens, like a number 7, if you hit it left... it's almost impossible to stop coming down, especially if the pin is on the right. It all depends on where the flag is, basically. Obviously, the center of the green is usually the safe play, but sometimes here it's not.
Do you have a practice facility here as well, or you just come out and start playing?
No, we just built a brand new golf academy, probably the best one in Asia, people are saying right now.
Really?
Brand new, put a lot of money into it. Brought a couple very good instructors in. Our head instructor, Jeff Craig, is from the US of A. He's been here a couple years now, and he's just excited about the whole project, which has started now, but come high season will be in full effect.
And the high season are what months?
High season will, again, start November 1st. That's when we expect a lot of the players coming back and a lot of the members and whatnot. Over the low season, he'll obviously have the people coming in and whatnot and experimenting with them and showing people what it's all about. But all our promotions and packages all geared towards that high season and obviously the rest of the future.
So my planning was really awful here. I'm at the beginning of June now, and this is the beginning of the rainy season, isn't it?
It is the beginning of the rainy season, again, but you can see beautiful skies,
yeah, right.
Beautiful weather. Lakes are topped up. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And so you've actually picked a good time because we couldn't do this in the high season. We wouldn't be able to stand on the golf course like this. So you got good timing.
Because of the amount of rain and the probably because it would be knee-deep in water, right?
In the, yeah, in the monsoon season, you'd be like that. Yes, definitely. But during the high season, there'd be golfers pumping in and out of here, left and right, coming. So we'd be interfering with their rounds.
And a beautiful and very large clubhouse right above the 18th green, right?
Yeah, a spectacular view coming in or from the golf course. Depends what angle you're looking at. It's just absolutely spectacular. Offers 32 rooms that you can actually stay in there as well.
Wow.
So it's a very large facility.
But it's a private country club as well? Well,
no,
it's public.
It is a country club,
so you have memberships.
We do have memberships. We offer memberships. We have about 1,200 members right now, and it is open to the public, though. So most of our play is probably about 75% guests,
okay,
coming in guests or someone on vacation and whatnot. Only 25% is members play right now, because the members are from all around the world, and a lot of them just don't have the time to come in.
Great. So what kind of crowd? So the Johnny Walker Classic is an invitation for the players, right? It's an invitation?
The Johnny Walker, yeah, is a tri-sanctioned event. So you basically had to qualify to get into that. There was
okay.
a few spots given away to some of the well-known players that didn't actually qualify, such as Mike Weir or David Frost or something, that actually participated in it, and they received invitations. But other than that, you had to qualify. It would be the top guys on the European tour, Asian tour, and Australian tour.
And the galleries, do you get very large crowds of people to watch that are outsiders?
Sunday, yep, the final day Sunday was impressive. Again, we're an island, so it's tough to get to. Mm-hmm. So just to come see it, you actually have to catch a flight, then get your ticket and your room and everything else that goes along with it. But the last day, the galleries reached probably up about 3,000, which we were happy with.
Yeah.
And again, came down to a playoff, so everyone was excited, everyone was pumped, and it was a good turnout.
So is it best to be playing first thing in the morning when it's not as hot, or are there courses in Thailand that are lit? I've heard rumors. Is that a different country?
Nope, you are correct. There are a couple courses in Thailand. One in Bangkok, I believe it is. I think it might be Pinehurst. I'm not sure what the golf course is, but yes, you can play at night, all night. They're lit up, and you just go out and play. Because a lot of the people end up working till 11 o'clock at night and decide to go out and.
And you don't really beat the heat, but you beat the sun at that point.
Correct. Yeah. I'm not sure. I've never played it. I'm not sure. Obviously, I think their idea of going to play all that time is because that's the only time they have to play.
And so what is the best time of day to play here?
Here, I would tee off around 7 o'clock, hopefully be done by 11 because I've teed off early, or I would tee off around 1:30 or 2. First couple hours might be a little bit hot, but again, coming down 4, 5, 6 o'clock-ish, it kind of cool down a bit. And when I say cool down, it's probably about 80 to 85.
That might
so,
be a way to do it.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. As a golfer, not as a golf instructor or PGA instructor or PGA professional, what is the best, I love this question, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received as a golfer?
The best piece of advice I received? Well, I've never had a golf lesson before.
Get out of town!
No, never had a golf lesson. Do a lot of reading, though. Basically, keep things simple. A lot of people get what I call paralysis by analysis. Too much golf terminology. It's just another language, and it would be easily confused with keep it simple. Your golf pro should be able to translate that in other words, escaping from the golf lingo and explaining things a little bit easier. And if you keep things simple, less thoughts, just hit the golf ball.
So you're talking about the mechanics of the swing, or are you talking about the strategy on the playing the course?
I would say you can actually do both. I was talking about the mechanics of the golf swing, but again, if you keep things simple strategically and golf management, managing where you're going to hit the golf ball and just thinking before you hit it, then golf smarter, you got it. Yeah, it will definitely lower the scores, but again, it depends how you want to play the golf games. A lot of people like Phil Mickelson just want to rip it, hit it, and go get it. Wherever it goes. It's in the trees. He has fun hitting it out. Seve Ballesteros loved hitting the trees, bunkers, hitting, creating shots. But most amateurs aren't good at those shots, so I recommend they keep it in the short stuff and play a little smarter.
Awesome. Hey, Jamie, really appreciate your time and the tea tour. This has been phenomenal. You have a beautiful facility here, and we hope that that people would love to come out and play here if they're planning a trip to Thailand and they have an opportunity to play. Maybe they don't want to bring their sticks. They can rent clubs here. Is that possible?
Definitely. We have all the facilities, amenities, everything you need here. You would just go to www.bluecanyonphuket.com. You can reserve tea times there. Stay in the lodges. We have rental clubs. Obviously sell the golf products you need. Everything is here for you. Basically, you just have to pick the time and come on down and see us.
And let's remind everyone that when you talk about BlueCanyonPhuket.com, Phuket is spelled P-H-U-K-E-T, BlueCanyonPhuket.com. Jamie Westbrook, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you for all your time, and good luck with it.
It's time to Ask Kenny. Do you have a question about specific golf gear or are baffled about what to look for in golf products and your clubs? Kenny Nicholson, technical specialist at EdwinWattsGolf.com, would like to help. And if we use your question on the show, you'll receive a free Golf Smarter Edwin Watts Golf hat. To submit your question, go to GolfSmarterPodcast.com and click on the button labeled Ask Kenny. Ask Kenny is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf and EdwinWattsGolf.com, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Sawadee ka!
Good morning, Fred.
That's the standard Thai greeting everywhere you go. Sawadee ka! It's amazing.
You've lost me with that one.
It's hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. A little jet lag, but other than that, I'm doing great.
It was an with the trip?
Trip was amazing. Went to Thailand, as we just talked about. Went to play golf there as well. Got lucky. Did that. Saw a beautiful golf course, but had amazing adventures. Absolutely amazing adventures. Okay, I'll give you one. You ready?
I'm ready, yeah. Shoot.
I went body surfing with a six-year-old elephant.
I don't even want to know, Fred.
We stayed at a resort for a little bit of our trip, and every day at 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock, these two elephants showed up. And not, they're like big dogs. They're not even on leashes. They just kind of show up with their handlers. And the one of them was 1 year old, and the other one was 6 years old. The 1 year old stands about 4 feet tall, and the other one's about 7.5 feet tall. And the big one loved to go in the ocean. So you just go in the ocean with it, jump on its back, grab its ears, and when a wave came, you just hung on.
It sounds fun, but
it was a lot of fun. This animal, just mammal, just loved to play with people in the water. Except, of course, when it was pooping, everyone bails out really fast. An amazing place. Thailand, highly recommend it. Long flight, but wow, awesome.
Well, but, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But actually, I have a question from a guy named Glenn Bokum, and he lives in Chiang Mai, Thailand. He literally wrote a question, but he also was really gracious to my wife and I. He gave us a lot of information about the Chiang Mai province and then hosted us for an afternoon, took us out to lunch, got to meet his family, showed us where he worked, and showed us around. He was great. And he writes a question that says, I'm a 6'4" man, and I use a standard box set of clubs. I have to slump over a lot to play these clubs and have never really been successful using them. I hear you talk a lot about club fitting. Would it do me any good to lengthen the shafts to better fit my height? What about the resulting club head lie? Do you think it'd be worth it for him to do this, and how will his game be affected? Thanks for your help.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because he's...
Probably a really common problem for big guys, right?
It is a common problem, but we're the problem for somebody that's either, you know, short in stature or is very tall, when you go to buy a boxed set of golf clubs, you only get them one way. You know, they come pretty much standard out of the box. Him being 6'4", you know, he's probably looking at least plus an inch, possibly plus an inch and a half, which can be fixed, no problem. You know, you can take the grip off and put an extension in the butt end of the shaft, cut it to the specific length, and put a grip back on. But the problem that you create, you fixed one problem, but you've created another. Anytime you lengthen a club, you change the lie angle of that golf club. So in essence, what he would need that club to be upright in order to fit his swing and to fit the adjustment for the length. So what's going to happen is now the heel of that golf club is going to be, you know, hitting the ground first. He's going to be hooking everything left. You're not going to be able to bend that set to adjust the lie angle because the metal that they use is usually a little bit less expensive. They go with like a 17-4 or something like that. That's real hard. So if you put it on a loft and lie machine and try to bend it, you're going to break the golf club. Yeah, he's fixed one problem, but he's created another.
Mm-hmm.
The simple answer for him is there's no way that he's going to be able to use that set of golf clubs and be real effective with them, because he is having to bend over quite a bit, being 6'4", you know, trying to play a golf club that's built for standard.
Yeah, well, he's used to bending over. He's got a little kid.
I'm sure.
Bendan uni, bendan uni.
But yeah, he, you know, what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to evaluate, one, how serious is he about the game of golf? If he's passionate about it and he's serious about it and he knows it's something that he's going to be playing for an extended period of time, then we need to stop and look at, you know, from a financial standpoint, is he willing to make a little bit of a commitment and get a set of golf clubs that fit him? That would be my advice. You know, let's get into a set. You know, we have a wide range of golf clubs, price and fitting wise. You know, I'm sure we could make him happy, or anybody else for that matter. And we can get him into a set of golf clubs at a reasonable price that's going to fit him, being 6'4".
All right. Well, you know how, like, when your parents tell you you're not allowed to do something, you want to do it more?
Sure.
Well, he's got a one-year-old, so he really wants to play golf because he doesn't have the time to do it. So I hope, Glenn, I hope that helps. And again, thank you so much. One more quick question that comes from Eric in Sydney, Australia. And I think we need to get this thing cleared up. We talk a lot about getting the 10% discount if you come in through the Golf Smarter podcast. But we also talk about free shipping. And people who listen to the program in other parts of the world are curious. 10% discount they get, yes?
Correct, they do.
Okay. Free shipping overseas. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. One is, it's we will do it for whatever it costs us to do it. We have probably one of the best rates out there for international shipping because we do a large volume of international orders. But the cost is significantly higher than it is for us to ship domestically. I'll give you an example real quick. For one golf club going to Asia or Europe, you're looking at about $30 to $35 total shipping. Where, you know, anybody trying to ship that individually, you're looking at, you know, anywhere from $50 to $75. So our rates are very, very reasonable. And we'll offset that with you. You do get the discount, and we'll give you our cost on the shipping.
That's fair. I think that's fair. Okay, so, Eric, I hope that answers your question, and anybody else overseas who are listening to the Golf Smarter podcast. Well, actually, you're not overseas. You are where you are. We are overseas to you. Doesn't make any sense. And I want to thank everybody who's had the patience. We've not been giving anything away over the last couple weeks, so I didn't have to be bombarded with it when I got home. But strangely enough, Kenny, there were 47 people who registered for the contest that we weren't having. So I came back and people are like, "Oh,
all winners!
I want to win! I want." So we're gonna give them a hat. Okay. So how about we'll pick a number between 1 and 47, and we'll send them a hat. Go ahead and pick it.
That'll be fine. We'll go with number 1 since he was the first one to register for no prize.
And it wasn't.
Got to give him credit.
I'm not sure it's a him. Imogene O'Meara.
Might be a she. Yeah.
It is. Imogene O'Meara. It was the first one came out. I didn't even sort it. It's like just took it in the order that it came. And Imogene O'Meara is from Queensland, Australia. So I'll pay the shipping on that one, okay? So congratulations, Imogene, and we're going to send you a hat. But we do have something to announce that we are going to give away now. What do you got, buddy?
Actually, I got, to me, a 5-wood's one of the most important clubs in the bag, I mean, because it's so versatile. You can use it off short par fours. You definitely need it in the fairway from the rough. It's a great club to use, but I'm doing a Tour Edge Bazooka J-Max QL 5-wood. I own one of these products and love it. You know, I don't use it every time I go out, but some courses I definitely take a 5-wood just because I can hit it so much easier than I can a long iron. I can get it up in the air. I can land it soft. So I got a phenomenal golf club we're going to be giving away for this episode, and somebody's going to be a lucky winner of it.
All right. Well, let's start the entries coming in now, and the deadline will be June 25th for entries. We'll announce the winner on June 26th. So please go to golfsmarterpodcast.com. Click on the word contest just below the Edwin Watts Golf banner, and fill out all the information, put in the verification code, and you are submitted for our contest. And if you'd rather just send an email, send it to pickme@golfsmarterpodcast.com with the subject Tour Edge Bazooka. All right, and that will be it for you. Now, let me just ask you a question about the 5-wood. You talk about how important it is to have in your bag versus a hybrid that replaces your 3-iron. Is there a big difference on...
The reason there is a difference is a 5-wood's got a little bit longer shaft than a typical hybrid. If you have the same loft, say 18-degree 5-wood and an 18-degree hybrid, the 5-wood's going to have about a half to three-quarters of an inch longer shaft, and it's a little bit bigger head. So in some instances, you are going to hit it farther because you're creating more club head speed. So, you know, I kind of weigh it, you know, hey, where am I playing? What am I doing? Do I need this club today? Yes, in some instances I do. Most of the time I do carry a hybrid. But for the average golfer out there, a hybrid in the same loft and a 5-wood in the same loft is a great combination because you're going to hit one farther than you are the other.
And what kind of distance are we talking about
It's really hard to say depending on club head speed.
Okay.
I mean, you're looking anywhere from some people from 150 to 225. But I mean,
not longer total length.
No, a lot longer total length. So, I mean, as far as total length between the two hybrids and a 5-wood?
Yeah, I'm just like, because I personally, I carry a hybrid in my bag. I don't carry any fairway woods. I go driver, and then I can hit my hybrid off the tee really well.
Yeah, some people do that. But if you carry two clubs, the same loft, a 5-wood and a hybrid, the 5-wood typically you're going to hit 10 to 15 yards further just because of the extended length.
Mm.
You're generating that much more club head speed.
Okay. All right. We also want to remind everybody about the Golf Better podcast. We know that there have been some issues. If you've been waiting for it at iTunes, we apologize. We are working to get that corrected, but you can still go to golfbetterpodcast.com and hear episode number 2, which is the part 1 of our interview or our roundtable discussion with Frank Thomas and Scotty Cameron. And we will get that resolved as quickly as possible. Now that I'm back, I'm going to take out the whip and make sure things are taken care of. Right, Kenny?
That's fine by me, Fred.
All right, you take out the whip then. You're the boss. I've been hired by you guys.
That's already happened, so.
Good. Well, just keep checking your iTunes for Golf Better Podcast, or again, go to golfbetterpodcast.com and click on episode number 2 if you want to listen to it while at your computer. All right, Kenny. Kakun kra.
You said thank you too, Fred.
That's right. That meant thank you. Very good, Kenny. Your tie is just...
I'm learning. Yeah, I'm ready to age.
You're a quick learner, buddy. See you later.
Take care, Fred.
Thanks, buddy. I want to say that I really enjoyed my vacation, and I'm glad that we were able to keep Golf Smarter going while I was gone. It was really hard for me to not check my email to communicate with you. I missed it. I missed it a lot, getting emails and feedback from you. But I'm back and I'm ready to go. And we've got great programming coming up for you every week for as long as we can make this happen. Also want to remind you that Golf Smarter Podcast is brought to you in part by the Bird Golf Academy. If you're thinking about a golf academy, make sure your research begins and ends with the Bird Golf Academy. Just go to golfsmarterpodcast.com, click on the link to Bird Golf Academy, and when you sign up, make sure you mention the Golf Smarter Podcast because you will receive a 10% discount. This week's closing quote comes from Eric Wirt of Jacksonville, North Carolina, who's a fan of both Golf Smarter and Golf Better and wanted to correct me on a recent quote. He writes, "You may have already been told this, but the quote that you were given is slightly wrong." And I think the right quote makes more sense. Eric, now that you pointed out, you're absolutely right. The quote should be, "Amateurs practice until they get it right. Professionals practice until they can't get it wrong." If you have any questions, comments, quotes, or requests, just click the Hey Fred button at golfsmarterpodcast.com.
The Good Dog Podcast is for people who are passionate about dogs.
I love my dogs.
I interview veterinarians, dog behaviorists, and a whole range of experts who offer tips and insights.
A good German Shepherd makes decisions. It will say, well, you know, I know the light just changed, but on the other hand, there's a very quiet Prius coming your way, and so I'm going to stop, whereas labs have a tendency to just follow rules.
You'll hear about some amazing canines who help their owners to be safe, and in some cases, alive.
Sometimes diabetics will test and they'll still be at 100 saying, I'm not going low, what are you talking about? And the dogs let them know before they even feel it.
And you'll pick up ideas for solving a host of challenges.
Within a week, you're going to have a dog that is calm, he lies down quietly, he's just going to be a totally different dog.
I'm Joanne Green. Please subscribe to the Good Dog Podcast, found in iTunes or at smarterpodcasts.com.